Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof." I want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is Pastor Wynn Greer, and this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located just outside of Boone in Vilas on Baird's Creek Road, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. That is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. If I left the intersection at Wendy's, that seems like the spot in Boone that everybody knows where it is, but the big intersection there, I could probably be at Mount Lebanon in about 8 to 10 minutes, depending on how the traffic was flowing through there. But it is good to be here once again today. We may have some new listeners. This is a new time for us. This is just our second week being on at 10 a.m. on WATA. So if you're a new listener, we want to let you know that we are on the radio every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., and we hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes. I want to say hello to Noah. He's with us and helping today. And are you having a good day so far?
I am. It's good to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And also those who listen in on 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, and we hope you had a good Memorial Day weekend and were able to take some time to spend with family, friends. We had a great weekend at church. We had our 125-year anniversary. Mount Lebanon was organized in 1891, and so we had a little celebration and giving of thanks for that, and so we enjoyed that and then had a good weekend. We've had a lot going on, but we have been involved in a series now since I think it was January the 12th on the subject of Heroes of Prayer, and that series grew out of the one that I was doing before that. I did a little series called What I Can Do for My Country. And really, both of those came from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1, where the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority." And we were talking about that, well, what can you do for your country? Well, you can pray. And that's what the Bible says. It says, first of all. So when we think about, well, what could I do? Could I vote? Could I get a petition started? Could I make a trip to Washington, D.C.? Could I write my senator? You know, all these things we think about. Could I run for local office? There's a whole lot of things we might think about what we could do. But the Bible says, first of all, just pray. Pray for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so we find several things there. And we've built upon that, how important prayer is. We have given for a long time now. We gave an example from the Bible and an example from history. And we went back and forth and back and forth. We're winding this up. Today is going to be the last day in this series. And we just feel like it's been enough and time to move on. But really, we could deal with this for a year. I mean, I wish somebody would write a book on it. There's all kinds of heroes of prayer. And today, we're going to use for our example, the greatest example for anything, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our greatest example and our greatest pattern to follow after when it talks about prayer. his life, his teaching on prayer, the way that he prayed. I mean, he was the Son of Man and the Son of God. It's hard for my finite mind to understand all about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was all God and he was all man. And although he was God, he also prayed to his Father many, many times. And his prayer life was such that the disciples desired that he would teach them how to pray. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And so when the disciples, now these are men that followed the Lord Jesus, they followed him, they saw his miracles, they heard his teaching, they saw how he interacted with people, they knew him better than anybody else. And they were around him, they spent time with him, they traveled with him, they ate with him. But when they saw him pray, they knew that there was something different about his prayer life. Their prayer life was poor in comparison to his prayer life. And so they said, "Lord, teach us to pray. There's something about the way that you pray, and we want to learn how to pray." And so what I'm going to do today is just give one example. We're going to look in Mark chapter number 14. Now, you realize that this is an inexhaustible subject. I mean, we could look at the times that Jesus prayed. We could look at his teaching on prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the prayer of intercession in John chapter number 17, all kinds of examples we could give about prayer. But we're going to just look at one thing. That's really all we will have time to get into. And I'm going to read a few verses out of Mark chapter number 14. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 35. This is the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And the next morning, Jesus Christ is going to be crucified. They're going to arrest him. They're going to put him on a short trial. And he's going to go before Pontius Pilate and Caiaphas the high priest, and back and forth, and a lot of things take place within a very short time period. But before he was betrayed by Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is what the Bible says. Mark chapter 14, verse 35, "And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? So the Lord went away, and he prayed. And he come back, and he found the disciples sleeping. And he said to Peter, you know, can you watch 1 hour? Can you pray 1 hour? Verse 38, Jesus said to Peter and John there, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words." So when it says, "and again he went away," this is the second time that the Lord Jesus goes and prays there in the garden. Verse number 40, "And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. So the Lord came back, and they were supposed to be praying, but they were sleeping. Well, they didn't know what to say about it. You know, you just sort of got caught, and they knew they should have been praying, but the Bible says they wist not what to answer him. And verse 41 said, "And he cometh the third time, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest, it is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand." And so we've been on Wednesday nights at Mount Lebanon. I've been preaching through the book of Mark. And this is where I really come across this and just begin to notice some things that were taking place here in Mark chapter number 14. There's a couple of lessons about prayer that I want to end up with today as we're talking about the subject of prayer and heroes of prayer. And the lesson that I want to share with you today, first of all, there's a couple of lessons that I want to look at. First of all, there's a lesson here, a teaching that there is a time when we ought to be in prayer. Now, three times. Now, this is the most serious day up to this point in the life, the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's getting ready to go to Calvary, and he knows that. I don't know that the disciples understand. I don't think they understood everything that was going on, but he knows that. And so the Lord Jesus spends this time in prayer, and he goes out and he prays, and he comes back, and the disciples are sleeping, and he goes and he prays again, and he goes and he prays again three times. And three times he comes, he tells the disciples, watch and pray, watch and pray. They slept when they should have been praying. So the first lesson that we learn from this is there's a time when we ought to be in prayer. They should have been in prayer. The Lord said to them in verse 38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Now these disciples, they're getting ready to be tried as well. Not only is the Lord Jesus Christ getting ready to go to Calvary, but the disciples are going to find themselves in trouble. They're going to find themselves in pressure. They're going to find themselves that, you're either going to stand with Christ or you're going to deny him. And the Lord Jesus had already told Peter before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me. And Peter said, oh, everybody else might deny you, but not me. I wouldn't do that. And so the Lord is telling them that they need to be praying. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. So he was telling them, watch and pray, watch and pray. They should have been watching. They should have been on guard. They should have been praying. But instead of doing that, they were sleeping. And so lesson number one, there's a time when we ought to be in prayer. Lesson number two, I learned this. There's a time when the opportunity to pray is gone. Now, we might think, well, you can pray anytime. Well, you can pray anytime. I'm not saying that. But what I learned from this passage of Scripture is that there was a time when the Lord said, you need to be praying. You need to be watching. You need to be praying. You don't need to be sleeping. Because look what happens in verse number 41. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour's come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And so that opportunity of prayer was gone all of a sudden. The Lord had told them, watch and pray, watch and pray. You need to be praying. But then he comes the third time and he found them sleeping again. And what did he say? He didn't say, hey, fellas, wake up. You need to wake up. You need to watch and you need to pray. He just said, sleep on. Take your rest. The hour's come. What I'm saying is, yeah, you can always pray. We can always say, Lord, help me. Sure, you can do that. But I believe from this passage of Scripture that we learned that there was a time when the window was closed. The door of opportunity was shut. The Lord had been telling them, pray, pray, this is serious. You're going to be tried. You're going to be tested. I'll read this again, verse 37. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And so the Lord had already told them, you're going to be tried. You're going to be tested. Well, they slept when they should have been praying. And so the Lord comes the third time, and in verse 42, or verse number 41, he said, sleep on now. Verse number 43, the Bible said, and immediately while he yet spake. Now, here's the course of events. They'd been in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus had been praying. He knew that his time was come. He's getting ready to go to Calvary. Nothing will ever be the same after this night. And the Lord Jesus has been in serious prayer, so much so that the book of Luke tells us that as he prayed, his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He was in a great agony over what he was going through. He was getting ready, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who had never sinned, is getting ready to be made sin for us. He's going to become God's Lamb of sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary and die for our sins. And the Bible says that he was made sin for us who knew no sin. And so the Lord Jesus was in a great deal of agony there in the garden, so much so that his sweat was became great drops of blood. But the Bible said, sleep on. And then verse number 43, and immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and scribes and the elders. So that serene circumstance that they were in, them being pretty much all alone there in the garden, and everything is calm and everything is peaceful, and they're able to pray and they're able to fellowship together. And we find all of a sudden everything changes. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves. Everything changed. Events unfolded very quickly. And the disciples get swept up in all these circumstances. There would be no more would they dine at leisure with their Lord like they had just been doing a few hours before that in the upper room. And never again would they be with him in the garden all alone and everything peaceful like that. The Bible said in verse 43, and immediately while he yet spake. So you see what happened. Jesus said, sleep on, take your rest. He that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately here comes Judas. So the time to pray, that opportunity to pray was gone forever. And everything started happening very quickly. Judas came, betrayed him with a kiss. They laid hands on him. They arrested him. They brought him before the high priest. They condemned him to die for, they said, blasphemy. They spat upon him. They smote him on the face. They brought him before Pilate. They beat him. And finally they took him out and they nailed him to Calvary's cross and they crucified him the next morning. Here's something else that happened very shortly after that. Now, there was a little scuffle there in the garden, if you know anything about the Bible. Peter drew a sword and he cut off one of the servant of the high priest. He cut off his ear. And I've always maintained, I don't think he was trying to cut off his ear. I think he was trying to cut off his head. And the guy probably ducked, and he cut off his ear. But the Lord told Peter, said, put up your sword, now's the time. The cup, the Lord Jesus said, the cup which my Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink it? He knew he had to go to Calvary. But look at how everything changed all of a sudden. And what happened was, now, Jesus had told them, the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And the Lord had been telling them, you better watch and pray. You need to be praying. Well, they didn't. They were sleeping when they should have been praying. And look what the Bible said in verse 50. And they all forsook him and fled. All of the disciples, when they should have been praying, they weren't praying. And when the time of testing come, instead of standing with the Lord, they all forsook him and fled. Now, here's what I want us to think about in the remainder of the time. I wonder, in America, if we are sleeping away the hour of prayer, when we ought to be praying, when we ought to be fasting, when we ought to be seeking the Lord, because just about everybody you would talk to would confess, things are not as they should be in our country. Boy, somebody told me the other day, well, we're in a mess, and I would agree with that. There's a lot of things that aren't right. There's a lot of things that aren't good. But relatively speaking, things are not as bad as they could be. Now, I know things are bad, but they could be a whole lot worse. And here's what I mean. It's not like we're living in the country of Syria where we're in civil war. It's not like we're living in, you can mention any country you want to that's at war right now. There's a lot of them. We're not at war, so to speak, as far as it being within our own borders. People are still going to school, going to their job. They are still traveling to town. You can still go to the grocery store. You can go to the any store and buy really anything you want. You still got credit. You still got gas at the gas stations. There's still parts to fix cars. I mean, there's just a whole lot of things that could be a whole lot worse. We still going to school and lots of play, lots of going and leisure time. And so you say, well, things are really bad. Yeah, they might be bad, but I'll tell you, they could be a whole lot worse. Most people are so busy, and I'm guilty. I don't know what to do about it, but I'm in the same boat. Sometimes you don't know if you're coming or going. I mean, you're just going, going, going. No time to pray. Here's the bad thing about this. People say, oh, I'm busy. I wish I didn't have this and that, and I got to go here and I got to go there. Well, the only reason you're able to go here and go there is because God has blessed you so much that you have excess to buy gas, to have a car, to go and spend time at the ballpark or spend time going here, going on vacation. None of those things are bad. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we're so busy. We're so caught up in this society that really when we ought to be praying, we have so many other things going on. I'm afraid we're sleeping in America. I want to share something with you by a preacher from a long time ago. His name was Oswald Smith. And Oswald Smith said this about prayer. He said, oh, how few find time for prayer. There's time for everything else, time to sleep and time to eat, time to read the newspaper and the novel, time to visit friends, time for everything else under the sun, but no time for prayer. The most important of all things, the one great essential. And so he's talking about, and you know that's a long time ago, he's talking about reading a newspaper and reading a novel. Who reads a newspaper and who reads a novel today? I mean, the newspaper just about going to go out of business. Everything's electronic. People are carrying around. It's not that they're going home and watching TV. You can carry the whole world at your fingertips in a smartphone and all these things. And people, their mind, their attention is on these things. But he says we've got time for everything else, but we don't have time for prayer. The one essential thing, the one thing we ought to be concerned about. And here's the thing, now we have time. Now during a time of leisure is when we ought to be praying. But do you realize how quickly circumstances could change? Do you realize how quickly our country could change? How quickly that we, like the disciples, could be swept along by circumstances where every day, instead of having leisure, you're literally fighting for survival. If you don't think that couldn't happen in our country, you don't know anything about what's happened in history in the past. Look at Germany look at Europe when Germany invaded Poland and invaded Holland. And I think about it, and I taught about it one time, the hiding place. And Corrie ten Boom, and how in the country of Holland they were just flourishing, and there was prosperity, and they were happy, and they were sort of like we are in America today. Everybody just enjoying and going on in their lives. And then Germany invaded, and everything changed. They got swept up in the circumstances, and going from prosperity to just trying to survive. It can happen. What I'm saying is, we look in the Bible, there is a time to pray, and we need to be praying during that time to pray. And there's a time when the Lord said, sleep on, take your rest. I want to read something out of Luke chapter number 21. In Luke chapter number 21, there's some warnings over there in view of the Lord's return. And verse number 34 says this, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and at that night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And so the Lord Jesus there, he warned them. he warned them. He said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. And I believe that's a good picture of where we are in America today. We've got so much going on. We've got so much prosperity. We've got so much opportunity to go here and go there, and here's another meal and there's another. And you know, these are the blessings of the Lord. I'm thankful for them. But he said, you better take heed. You'd better beware. You better not get taken up with the cares of this life and that day come upon you unawares. And it's the same language that he told the disciples in verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always. There's a time to watch. There's a time to pray. And that's the time that we are in right now. And so we've been teaching on prayer. Lots of things have been said about prayer. Lots of examples. We've looked at Daniel and Samuel, and we've looked at Elisha and many of the Old Testament figures. We could have looked at many more. We've looked at the women of prayer last week. We've looked at some great missionaries and people of prayer. And prayer, one thing that prayer does, prayer shows our dependence upon the Lord. That, you know, there's just a lot of things in life I really can't do anything about. The Lord is going to have to work. When people are sick, when circumstances are such as I'm just powerless to do anything about it, prayer shows that we are depending upon the Lord, our Father, which art in heaven. Prayer sharpens our spiritual life. It keeps us looking to the Lord. It keeps us realizing, you know, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, Psalm 68. And so I need to make sure that my heart is right with the Lord if I'm going to pray. Prayer reminds me of that. Prayer, and we've already read out of 1 Timothy chapter number 2, prayer makes a difference in our personal lives, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and in honesty. And so we're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that they may come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. Prayer works in the lives of other people. This is something we did not teach about or preach about during this series, but prayer saves the sick, James chapter number 4. And prayer showers us with blessings and answers from the Lord, and on that we could go talking about the subject of prayer. But our country, you say, what does our country need? Our country needs some people to pray. And I've been pastoring now for many, many years, and I'm thankful that I've had the opportunity to do that. But one thing about it, we've had a lot of funerals over the years. And I think about all those great saints that have gone on to be with the Lord and how we miss them. And I think we're losing our prayer warrior generation. Boy, we need to get some back. I'm going to leave you with the words of E.M. Bounds, one of my favorite writers on prayer. He said this: it is out of date, almost a lost art. And the greatest benefactor this age could have is the man who will bring the preachers and the church back to prayer. And boy, how we need to get back to prayer, to get the preachers and the church back to prayer. He said a praying pulpit will beget praying pews. We do greatly need somebody who can get the saints to this business of praying. And so what did the Lord Jesus? He told the disciples, watch and pray. Well, we appreciate you listening in. We desire your prayers. Help tell somebody about our new time at 10 a.m. on Tuesday mornings. Hope you have a great day. God bless you. Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.